From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. It's Last Chance Saloon to save your season. We're talking free hits, Man City moves, and which players are set to go out with a bang. Well, it has been the longest FPL season in history, 37 game weeks across a staggering 11 months, but only one remains. And as well as there being plenty to sort out in the Premier League on Sunday, there is plenty to sort out in FPL as well. And hopefully here on this week's podcast, we can do just that for you. Welcome along, Fantasy Managers. We are nearly there. Joining me, Kelly Summers, is Fantasy Football Scouts, Neil Rigg. Hello, Neil. How are the nerves doing ahead of the final game week?
Jangling, Kelly. One last tilt at the top 10k, which is looking increasingly unlikely as the weeks go by, but we'll see what we can do with the free hit chip this week.
Well, we're also joined by the ever optimistic Julien Laron. Jules, you were in the dizzy heights of, I don't even know where you were, but you were very high up, but it hasn't gone to plan for you in recent weeks.
The restart has hurt me badly, the pandemic. I forgot to play too much days. I missed the deadlines and I was gutted, didn't do anything. And I'm still doing okay. I mean, better than you and and Sam as well, who's coming next as a guest. So that's okay. But yeah, no, it's disappointing to have done that in the restart, since the restart.
And our final guest, what an introduction there that Jules gave him. Sam Parkin joins us as well. Go on, Sam, bite back. Let's kick this pod off as we mean to go on.
Hey, I'm a big fan of Julien. I'm very disappointed I'm not going to be seeing him lifting the trophy with the fireworks in the backdrop. It's been a huge collapse from him, but nice to have been in the position, I'm sure.
I mean, you had 60 points, Sam. 60 points this week was pretty good for you. So that's not, you know.
Hey, listen, I'm just trying to get that much sought after 14th position. That's what I'm all about.
Come on, boys, play nicely. This is setting the tone early on, I feel. Now, game week 37, before we do look ahead to the final game week, I hate to do this given the way Jules has just set things up, but Jules, you did have the best week out of all of us. Where did the majority of your points come from?
Yes, it was a good week, really. Laporte scoring on the Bruno assist was good for me. Edison not conceding as well, of course. And Trent with his free kick against Chelsea got me good return. I mean, who would, for example, leave Trent on the bench? God knows. I really don't know who would be, you know, so clever to do that, I guess. And then apart from Egan and Rashford, everybody else brought points in. So, yeah, I was really glad with the 74 points.
Let's get this one out of the way early then, shall we? It was me, as you probably guessed, that left Trent Alexander-Arnold on the bench. I didn't just leave Trent on the bench, though. I also left Phil Foden on the bench. 21 points, courtesy of two players on my bench. I lost a head-to-head based on that. I've lost lots of ground in leagues, lots of red arrows for me. I tried to be bold. It just didn't work. I did predict that Trent wouldn't keep a clean sheet. I just didn't predict three bonus points, that stunning free kick and everything else. Anyway, enough of that. Let's focus on the positives because, Neil, this week, Pep Roulette didn't strike as bad as we feared, perhaps.
No, it didn't. But it doesn't mean it's going to not straight again in game week 38, I guess. Yeah, so Jesus started his sixth league match in a row, which we, when Aguero got injured, that's what we hoped for. But we've seen previously Bernardo playing as a false nine. We've seen Sterling playing there as well. But this has defied all expectations, really. So Jesus started, Sterling did too, De Bruyne as well. So all the heavy hitters were there, including some differentials like Foden. So it was a pretty strong team at Watford. A lot of big returns as well, especially Sterling. It's just what he's got in store for us on Sunday, I guess, because many of us will be going big on City for game week 38, given that Norwich are coming to the Etihad. But yeah, joy for most people, unless you're me, who didn't own Sterling and hasn't done for the last three or four game weeks, which has basically been the root cause of my downfall, really, during that time.
Well, no, you weren't the only one. Sam, myself and Jules didn't own Sterling either. Another player who had a very good week elsewhere was Harry Kane. 12 points for him, back-to-back double digits. Should have actually got more against Leicester. He was denied an assist after the Son goal went down as an own goal. Sam, Harry Kane, should we be looking in his direction now?
Absolutely, yeah. Against Crystal Palace as well, considering the slide that they've been on. Absolutely. I think back to his best, his hold-up play, but of course his finishing was sublime against Leicester. I actually had him in for week 33 plus and week 34 plus, and cumulatively he brought me 8 points during those two game weeks. So I just went a little bit early. I've been trying to roll the dice in terms of my captain as I'm playing catch up, and that's been my Achilles heel the last few weeks. I've had Harry Kane and then Rashford in the last game week, who I think got me 4 points as well. So the roll of the dice hasn't paid off for me. But Kane away to Crystal Palace, yeah, I think that's a great shout.
Yeah, the roll of the dice certainly hasn't paid off for me either. But don't worry, none of us got our captain picks right this week. We all banked on big points for Manchester United. We looked in the wrong place. Now, Neil, I had a bench disaster. You didn't quite have a disaster to the level that I had. And I imagine it was a bit of a mixed night of emotions for you watching Liverpool versus Chelsea the other night.
Mixed in the sense there was anger, despair, resentment.
Was there not a bit of relief when you saw him benched initially, though? You thought,
yeah, there was, yeah. I thought I'd made the right call. I mean, I played Foden in his stead. It was a choice between the two. So at least they got 8 points. But yeah, I thought I'd made the right call. I was crowing over everyone else who'd played him from the start. Any captain that's out there, I thought, oh, I've made the right call here. And of course he comes on and exploits a defence that's been pretty poor since the title win, really. I think just one clean sheet since then. But he's got another tough fixture coming up this weekend. So it's whether I ditch him again, bench him again for the Wolves at home, or risk another haul sitting there staring at me on the bench, which could happen. But yeah, in terms of my game week, that was just the tip of the iceberg, really. Captain Fernandez, which is terrible.
Same.
Lost Van Dijk's clean sheet. Lost Danny Ings' second goal because he missed from the penalty spot. So ordinarily, a 60-point week would be quite good, but given the hauls I've seen elsewhere, it's lost me ground, unfortunately. And Pulisic was the cap on that.
Yeah, I had similar problems as well. Well, that was last week. We don't have to talk about that too much more, Neil. Don't worry. So for the very last time this season, we are now going to ask our panel to pick the one game that's going to give you listeners the best points haul you've had all season. No pressure or promises. Well, the end of season brings about some crazy games. There's been at least one crazy game over the past few years, guys. Last year, it was Palace 5, Bournemouth 3. In 17-18, we saw Spurs 5, Leicester 4. So there's plenty of points usually at this time of year to be had. Where are you guys finding them? Jules, what game are you going to pick out?
I would pick Leicester against Manchester United, not just because it's like Champions League spot final, if you want, if Leicester win, although maybe even a draw could be enough if Wolves beat Chelsea. But I think if they win, and I think they go for a win, they make sure to be in the Champions League. For United as well, they want to secure that third place. So I think it's going to be a hell of a game. And I think it's a game that will suit United simply in the sense that Leicester will have to attack. As we said, I think they will go for a win. Jamie Vardy is surely looking at the golden boot as well, so he would want to score. And I think that suits United because they can sit deeper and play on the counter. We saw, for example, against Villa that when they play against a low block, although they still score, and it's probably better since Greenwood has come in the team, but it's still a bit more difficult, and then they can run at you and they can have all that space for Rashford and Martial and Greenwood and Pogba and Fernandes as well. So I think the way Leicester will play, and they have to play that way anyway, and they always play that way, will really suit United. And I can see being a really good afternoon for United on the counter at Leicester with, again, I think Greenwood, Martial, Fernandes, Rashford. Pick who you want, maybe two from those four, even three from those four like me, because I think that they would get points there for United.
Which players specifically are you looking at, Jules?
So I've got Martial, Rashford and Greenwood. I'm thinking maybe Rashford's, I could change Rashford, but keep Martial and Greenwood. I just think Greenwood has something so special, and the confidence he's in right now, you could see him scoring again. And I think Martial in that counter-attack game would be really key too for United. So if I was to go just for two of the United players, I would go for Greenwood and Martial.
Sam, we've waxed lyrical there about Manchester United. Understandably so, their attacking players have given us such good returns in FPL. But this is a huge game for Leicester as well. Jamie Vardy going for the golden boot. Is he someone that people should be considering?
Yes, again, absolutely. I don't think Leicester have got a particularly good record against Manchester United. Some people don't read too much into that. I think it's one win in the last 24 games, which is incredible. But Jamie Vardy's got a decent record, 5 goals in that fixture. So, yeah, on the face of it, he's got work to do. Obviously, they're chasing in the chasing pack. Danny Ings as well, I think, is someone worth looking at this weekend, considering their fixture. But Vardy is the man for Leicester when you consider their problems of the last few weeks, the inconsistency really of Barnes and Perez. He's their main shot at glory, if you like. So, yeah, can see people going for Vardy, definitely.
Well, Vardy did get two goals in game week 33+, and then scored again in both 34+ and 35+, but hasn't scored in the last two game weeks. If you do want to bring him in, 9.7 million is his current price. As we said, going for the golden boot, so could be worth looking at elsewhere. Neil, where are you spotting points this week?
Well, I've taken a game that doesn't immediately leap out on paper. It's West Ham v Aston Villa. I knew some of the bigger games would be claimed elsewhere, but it's this kind of pound shop version of the irresistible force making the immovable object, because West Ham have been very, very good of late, and Villa have been surprisingly decent defensively, which is not something we've said all season. But since the restart, Villa's the fourth best for expected goals conceded. Imagine that. So they've had a bit of a resurgence at the back, not scored many at the other end. But I bring this game up because of one man, really, and it's Antonio. Now, he has the, I know expected data isn't everyone's cup of tea, but he has the best expected goal involvement of any player in the Premier League since the restart. Now, even if you take away the Norwich City game from that, he's still top. He scored in midweek from the penalty spot as well. We're not sure if he is still going to be on penalties or whether Mark Noble will reclaim them. But this is an intriguing clash, because it's probably a fixture some people are targeting for Antonio, maybe Bowen as well. But I do think Villa have possibly got the best chance of the three of staying up. And they are, of the bottom half teams, they have seen the biggest improvement defensively since the resumption. So I'm not sure this is quite the home banker it looked on paper perhaps 2 or 3 months ago. And I've got a feeling Villa might do something here, or at least keep the score down. I'm toying whether to get Antonio in my free hit team or not, because I've missed his hauls. So this is quite an intriguing clash for me. I know other people have eyes on bigger fixtures, but this has planted some seeds of doubt watching Villa lately, because there's only been the Man United game where they've really been turned over. The rest of the games they've actually done quite well. So yeah, food for thought there.
Food for thought. As a Watford fan, I actually agree with you, as much as it pains me to say that. Looking at Villa, we all talk about Jack Grealish, and he has been brilliant. He's looked back to his brilliant best, even if it hasn't converted into FPL points as yet. Looking elsewhere, though, in their team, one man has really stepped up to the plate for them, Trezeguet. 29 points in his last three game weeks with three goals that could be absolutely huge for Aston Villa. Would you be tempted to look at a player like him, perhaps?
It's a differential. I mean, Grealish is the obvious pick because he's the sort of talisman. He's going to start every game. He's going to complete every game unless injury forces him off, which is not something to be sniffed at this stage of the season when rotation is rife. But I think 0 goals and 1 assist since, game week 23, tells its own story. Villa haven't really got much to convert those chances in attack. Trezeguet has stepped up to the plate, but him and El Ghazi have kind of been hit and miss all season. They'll be excellent 1 week and then despairing the next. So I would be shying clear of that. I think there are other more sensible Maverick picks this week. Although they do at least have the carrot of something to play for, in inverted commas, which is what a lot of us look for as motivation at this time of year. But I think I'd be steering a bit short of Trezeguet, I think.
Yeah, he is a real differential, owned by less than 2%, £5.2 million midfielder if you are interested. Come on then, Sam, which fixture is catching your eye this week?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go for Chelsea against Wolves. For me, obviously not quite as much at stake, but evokes memories of the famous Chelsea-Liverpool game pre-Abramovich, last day of the season when Chelsea had to win to get into the Champions League. So, and on that day, Jesper Gronke, if you remember, got the winning goal. So I'm going to tip up Pulisic for this one. We've already spoken about him a little bit. He's the one must, I think, for Chelsea. 54 points since the restart. Goal and 2 assists in the last 2 game weeks. He's their attacking talisman, if you like, at the moment. I'd put Giroud maybe in that category as well, because he's got the shirt at the moment. 17 points in the last 3 game weeks. There may be some game time for Tammy Abraham, but I think those two are the go-tos for Chelsea. And we should get a nice open game with Wolves wanting to finish in sixth position. I won't go into the permutations, but for the Europa League qualification, they'll want to pip Spurs to that slot. 5-2 at Molineux earlier on in the season. So I'm hoping for something similar. I think Chelsea will score. That doesn't mean I'll be rushing to get my Wolves players out, my defensive Wolves players out, because Doherty in particular brings you so much offensively. So I think it's got the look of a really good game. What I will say to finish, Wolves have only won three times against the current top 10. So their record against the bottom half teams is almost immaculate. So I just fancy Chelsea maybe to win this by the odd goal.
Jules, we've heard both Neil and Sam talk about Pulisic now. How are you feeling about him going into this game week? Because this one on paper for me is a really hard one to call.
I mean, I wish I'd brought him in earlier. I was at the Chelsea Man City game, and he was unplayable. He was so good. I mean, his first touch and the first two touches and the first two or three yards, he's so explosive and so quick, and I think he's an incredible player. Now that he's in confidence and he's fit, I would really encourage people to get him in the team, because I think he could shine again against Wolves. I think for next season, you could see even a better Pulisic, and I think his understanding with Giroud as well, like we saw with Hazard and Giroud when they played together, or others with Giroud, is so good, and Giroud loves playing with players like him. So I think I completely agree with Sam. It would be a great choice to put either just Pulisic or even Pulisic and Giroud if you've got enough money and if you can do it, because I do think that they could have a very good game against Wolves.
So many good midfield options for us to choose from. It's a shame we can't field all midfielders, really, in FPL, isn't it? Anyway, you may have noticed, listener, that we have missed out a few very big fixtures that I'm sure will be catching the eye in FPL game week 38+. But don't worry, I think they're going to feature quite heavily in the next section. Next up, it is time for some chip chat. So in this next section, we'll be discussing chips, because this does seem a very popular week for people to use up all of their leftover chips. Three out of the four of us are playing our free hit this week. Neil, why do you think managers do leave their chips so late?
I think partly, perhaps it's psychological, the fact that you've got this in your locker for the end of the season when other people have used theirs earlier in the campaign. But generally speaking, I keep mine for later in the season when there are traditionally a lot of blank game weeks and a lot of double game weeks. Now, the way the season's panned out since lockdown, we've only had one double game week, and that was the very first one back, which we could negotiate with the unlimited transfers that FBL gave us. So really, I've got this excess of chips that I guess I don't really need, because my team's looking okay for 38. So yeah, it's turned on its head this year, because I guess the advantage has been on people who've used their chips early. I mean, it's still nice to have going into 38, because you can pick and choose your City assets, for example, for the home game against Norwich. But my rationale was I want to have as much left to use in the final, say, 9 or 10 game weeks when there is a lot of disruption to the fixture calendar. The way it's panned out, we've had full complements of 10 fixtures every game week from game week 31 plus onwards. So really, I've just had to take a look at the fixture list, what I think would be the best game weeks to use my spare chips on. The one other line of reasoning for 38 is that they all kick off at the same time. We're going to hear from all 20 Premier League managers in their press conferences, so we'll hear the latest injury news. That isn't always the case. And there's no clashes with things like FA Cup semi-finals, which there was in 37. So we had two Manchester clubs, Arsenal and Chelsea, playing at Wembley before they had their game week 37 fixtures. So that, I wasn't sure who was going to line up for Man City, for example, based on that. So I think 38, with this being the last game of the campaign, clubs want to go out on a high, hearing about the latest injury news, it added up to the best game week for me. On top of that, there's some nice little fixtures in there as well.
Well, we'll discuss exactly who we're bringing in for our free hit teams very shortly. It is myself, Jules and Neil who have that chip active at the moment. But Sam, you don't have any chips left. And myself and Jules had a bit of a nightmare with our triple captain. We were one of the many, many managers earlier this season that brought in Mane for the double game week. And then he got injured in the first game of the game week. Your triple captain was probably as unsuccessful, wasn't it? Sorry to bring this up.
It's been well documented. Kelly, I'm happy to go over it again. I was sitting inside the top 3,000 after game week two, mainly due to the genius that was Pookie at that stage, who I'd captained. I think he got 4 goals in the first 2 weeks. So getting carried away, trying to take the league by storm in August, I triple captained Harry Kane at home to Newcastle in a 1-0 defeat in week 3. So, yeah, on the face of it, that has been my biggest mistake. The rest of the chips, I'm not too concerned about. Of course, it would be lovely to have something in my locker now, but as I've touched on already today, I've been playing catch up. I've been having to basically do the opposite to what everyone else is doing just to try and make up some ground in some of my mini leagues. So I'm not regretting too much. Maybe it would have been nice to hold one of the wild cards back, but we are where we are, and I'll be stronger for it next year, Kelly. Don't you worry about that.
That is the attitude of a former footballer right there. Come back stronger. That's what I say every single year, and it never, ever happens. Let's look at these free hit teams then. Who for you, Jules, is essential? We talked before about some of the other fixtures, but for me, when I'm doing my free hit, I'm just looking at that City game and working out which 3 players are the best to have in.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. If you go Edison, thinking that there's nowhere Norwich can, or at least that Norwich team can score against them. Same with Laporte, who can also score on set pieces. There's De Bruyne and the record of assists that he can beat on Sunday. He's on 19. Thierry Henry in 03 finished with 20. Mesut Ozil finished with 19 in 06, I think, in 16, I think it was, or something like that. So De Bruyne with 2 more would become the king of assists, really, in the history of the Premier League. So I think there would be a case for Pep and everybody at City to try to help De Bruyne achieving that, which I think would be fair. David Silva will play his last game for the club, and you could also think that Pep would give him a lot of game time. He would maybe be on free kicks and penalties as well to make sure that he finishes on a high, which again makes a lot of sense. And Sterling, who, as we've been saying, has been flying for the last 3 weeks, he's also been flying to Saint-Tropez for the last couple of days, so I don't know in what kind of state he will come back and play that game on Sunday. But there's a lot of options if you're thinking of City. I had a little bit of theory as well with the team who will try to fight against relegation, in the sense that Villa, West Ham and Watford, Arsenal and Bournemouth, Everton will all have to play to win. So usually maybe they would have a very cautious approach when you go away to those kind of teams, and maybe play for a draw, or at least make sure you don't take any risk. But in those games, all 3, Villa, Watford and Bournemouth, will have to go for the win, which means that Everton, Arsenal and West Ham will have plenty of space to attack. It'll be far more open game than it would be usually for those teams. So if you think about Antonio, Aubameyang, Pepe, Lacazette, even Richarlison, Calvert-Lewin, you could think that they will have chances and they probably would score, because Bournemouth will have to play open, and Watford as well, and Villa as well. So maybe it'd be interesting to think about those players that could get quite a lot of points, just taking advantage of the way the teams that would try to stay up would play.
You had me until the point you said Dominic Calvert-Lewin, because I've been burnt by him. I kept him after the restart over Danny Ings, and well, we know the form he's been in, but maybe it'll be this week, but I'm definitely not bringing him in. Neil, your free hit chip is active, as I've said. Which players are must-haves, do you think?
Brandon Williams, 3.8 million. If you've got a terrible team value like I have, you need some fodder. And he's the cheapest player in the game. So he's the only nailed pick at present in my free hit squad. He's staying there because he frees up so much else. He's not playing, he'll stay.
Of all of the players I expected you to say, he would probably have been in, well, I just wouldn't have picked him. Is that to put on your bench, I presume?
He is to put on my bench, yeah. I mean, he could even play if Luke Shaw's still there. But people like Shaw, Branthwaite, Lamptey got mentioned earlier, and I think players like that will be forming the core of my bench, I think, while I splurge on heavy hitters elsewhere. But Jules has touched on it there. It'll be a triple up on Man City. That's what I'm mostly looking at. Which combination changes by the hour, really? At the moment, it's Jesus, Sterling and David Silva. But, yeah, I'm loath to lose the likes of my United assets to fund that, because, as Jules said earlier, I do think that's a game where they're going to get a lot of joy, because Mourinho basically showed them how to do it. And when Spurs players sit back, see possession, let them push up, high line defence, hit them on the counter, and United have got the personnel to do that. So I don't think I'll be losing my United assets to fund moves for their cross-city rivals. So I think I'll be keeping at least 2 of my current trio. So perhaps Rashford, Martial, Green would be cost-effective.
Jules, very quickly, before I ask Sam the really horrible question of if he had his triple captain, what would he do with it this week? Because I feel like
that would be really mean.
But before I do that, I'm just telling you, Sam, that is coming next. Jules, you've got Mo Salah. That's a lot of cash. They're away at Neil's Newcastle. Are you going to hold him?
I'm not sure, Kelly. I'm really tempted not to. And as we said, there's a lot of other players and in differential as well that could bring you a lot of points. And I don't know. I think he knows he can't win the Golden Boot now. I mean, unless he scores, I don't know, 7 goals or something, which is not going to happen.
Could that happen, Neil?
Yeah, we've got one fit centre half. We're playing a back three of Fernandes with two fullbacks either side of him at Brighton. We did get a clean sheet, but I expect we'll face a bit more of a barrage at the weekend. So I'm tempted to keep Mane for this because we are susceptible to crosses and aerial balls, and he's quite good in the air. So I'd be recommending everyone keep the Liverpool assets for this. As a pessimist,
Mane seems a bit more interested. I don't know. I thought Salah for the last 2 games didn't seem really that committed or involved in a way. I'm sure he wants to do well. They always do, but I don't know. He knew that the Golden Boot was too far ahead now, and he could not win it anymore. And I don't know. Maybe he also feels the tiredness of 3 incredible seasons in a row now. And then I'm not sure if I had to go for a Liverpool player going forwards. Because I think I would keep Trent and not put him on my bench, that's for sure. I would probably go for Mane more than Salah. That's where I am right now.
Never mind the Golden Boot, guys. I'm sure Mo Salah's going to be very aware that he's tied at the top of the FPL standings going into the final game week. Both him and KDB, both on 232 points. That's the real title that he wants. Never mind the Golden Boot. Never mind the Premier League. He wants to be FPL champion. Anyway, Sam, I don't mean to leave you out of this conversation just because you don't have a chip. If you did have your triple captain chip, where would you be placing it?
Oh, I think it's really difficult, actually. I'm quite glad that I don't have this problem.
No, you're not.
I don't think you can trust Pep because goodness knows what he's going to do with his side. So I think that's a gamble. I don't think you can touch Chelsea Wolves or maybe Leicester Man United. So that leaves you, I think, with Harry Kane away at Palace, as Neil has spoken about, or Aubameyang at home to Watford. 2 players with an insatiable desire to score goals. Aubameyang still kind of in the race, I think. And Harry Kane just is goal scorer supreme and will be hungry for more. So they're guaranteed to play. It would be a toss-up between those two.
After the way Kane betrayed you on week 3, I'm surprised you're going for him, but, you know, maybe.
The guy's plied his trade in the lower leagues. You know what I mean? He's a god to someone like me. He used to, you know, run around at Hartlepool away, etc. It's one of a kind, isn't he? It's all about goals for him. So I'd fancy him to notch certainly one at Palace.
And now that you found out that he was having a baby boy as well, and in a very fashionable way, the way he found out and his family as well, you might be even more pumped up for the game at the weekend.
You expect him to see the baby celebration, you know, when they...
The ball under the shirt, the bebeto, you know, everything.
Well, it's clear we have so many decisions to make. Well, Jules, myself and Neil do. Not so many for you, Sam. You keep pretending you're not happy to have any of those chips. Next up, we're going to be looking at the answers you gave us to the question we posted on social media this week. So many decisions, but this week on At Official FPL, we asked you, with only 1 game week to go, what is the final decision you have to make? There were so many answers that came in for this one, but there was one man who featured very heavily in them, David Silva. Marley said, I have my triple captain and I'm currently number 3 in my mini league. I am the only one with a triple captain and I'm finding it hard to decide between Sterling and David Silva. Sean also has said, do I take the risk on David Silva given that it's his last game? Well, it's his last game in the Premier League anyway. He'll get good game time and maybe even be given penalties and free kicks so he can score. David Silva is a very interesting proposition. You mentioned him earlier, Neil. Do you think we should be bringing him in?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think it's just a sentimental pick either. I think what Sam said before about not being able to trust Pep, well, David Silva didn't play a minute in midweek. And while it's not always logical as that, you would think he stands a very, very good chance of starting this weekend. And if you can narrow your odds in terms of City picks, then he's got to factor into the equation. Yes, I mean, I don't know if the rest of the squad will be overtly helping him to score, whether it's going to be as sort of sentimental as that, whether he's going to be given penalties, because he's only ever taken one penalty in his club career before, and it was terrible. It was against Southampton back in 2012, and he fluffed it, and Kelvin Davis saved it.
Is that the only thing he's not good at, do you think?
Have we finally found out
the one thing maybe he's not good at?
He still can score from free kicks. I mean, De Bruyne ceded that free kick opportunity for him to score a couple of game weeks ago. I am looking at him. He's cheap as well. He's under 8 million, which isn't much you can say about many City players. And he's averaged 10.5 points per game in his last four starts at the Etihad, all of them since the restart. So it's not just, as I say, a sentimental pick based on what he's done previously. I think there's a lot of common sense behind that. Yes, of course, he's a slightly deeper player. He's like number eight. He's not going to get into the box as much as Sterling or Jesus, but he can still do plenty of damage from where he plays. And it would be fitting, wouldn't it, after all he's given us for the last decade in FPL. And I, for one, will be on him in my free hit squad, I'm pretty sure.
As will I. Andrew also has a similar dilemma. He says, who should I transfer into my midfield? David Silva, Sterling, or Pulisic? Who would you go for out of those three, Sam? It sounds like he doesn't have a free hit to play.
Oh, I'd probably just go for Silva over Pulisic, maybe. I think we're probably going to see a world record for 1-2s at the Etihad this weekend. We're going to see Kevin De Bruyne, David Silva in the box playing some beautiful, intricate stuff. I mean, it could be set up better, could it? Norwich conceded 70 goals, 10 straight defeats. I don't think it's going to get any easier for them. So yeah, we've already discussed the captain dilemmas, and I think it's just about which Manchester City players you shoehorn into your side. So if you can do it, get Pulisic and Silva, but definitely David Silva is going to be on penalties, and Kevin De Bruyne is going to be playing little lovely passes to him throughout the 90 minutes.
Talking of captaincy dilemmas, Tony doesn't know who to pick from KDB, Sterling, Antonio or Kane. Tony, you sound like you've got an insane team. Jules, who would you go for out of those four gents?
I think Kane, and for everything that we've said on the show, Sam made really good points. Away at Palace as well, who have lost 20 games in a row, have hardly had defenders anywhere to put on that game. So Kane is probably a good choice. I do think De Bruyne will get you points because of the assist records that we mentioned before as well. Sterling, again, after the couple of days partying in France, not so sure what kind of fitness he would be in, but maybe as well, he's been such good form. And I can't remember who the fourth one was, but I think I would go for Kane amongst everything. It potentially has the biggest return in points.
I know what Jules is doing here. He's spreading vicious rumours about Raheem Sterling to put everyone off bringing him into their team.
Listen, if I got 2 days off and I could take a private jet, Saint-Tropez is where I would go right now to party. So well
done,
Raheem.
You're actually just jealous.
Yeah, and also, you know, being French, I have to do a bit of tourism promotion. So, you know, Saint-Tropez is great people.
The official FPL podcast, otherwise known as the French Tourism Podcast with Julien Laurent. Anyway, enough talk of parties in Saint-Tropez. Next up, it's Essential Differential. So with all of these free hits and other chips active, it's often nice to find some different players that maybe our rivals won't bring in. Let's see who we can come up with this week, guys. Now, Neil, Antonio is the obvious West Ham pick. As you said earlier, you said you weren't completely sold on him and you've actually come up with another Hammers asset.
So there's plenty to like in West Ham's side. Yes, I'm going to contradict myself because I said Villa could give them a tough game. But Bowen, I really like. He's someone I've seen since he signed from Hull in January. He's offers assist and goal potential. Thomas Suchek as well is pretty decent from said plays. But I've gone real maverick here. I've gone completely round the bend. I've gone with Mark Noble. And now, no one in their right mind would think about getting him in. But
nope.
Let me explain. He came back from injury in game week 35, I think. Rice and Suchek have pretty much nailed down that double pivot there in midfield. And since then, he's been playing a bit further forward. Yes, it wasn't quite as pronounced in the Man United game, but certainly against Norwich, playing in a number 10 role almost, sort of a link between midfield and attack. And he's created more chances than any other Premier League player since then. 16 chances in three games he's created. Six of them against United, which is pretty decent. 8 against Norwich, which has to be taken with a pinch of salt, of course. But if you're really, really looking for a maverick pick, then why not? It's game week 38. He'll either get you 2 points or he'll get you 5 points.
4.9 million if you are bold enough to bring in Mark Noble into your team. Now, it's been very common in recent weeks for us to have Brighton differentials in this section. And Sam, you've got us another one.
Yeah, I mean, to enable us to get all these brilliant attacking players in, I think you're going to have to go quite cheap and get value for money in your defence. So I've seen a lot of this lad coming through the academy at Chelsea, now at Brighton, Tariq Lamptey, 4.1 million. Got his third clean sheet for Brighton in the last game against Newcastle. Brilliant assist, if you remember back against Liverpool, his delivery for Trossard. I mean, he's a right winger, really, playing at right back. So he gives you great impetus as someone who can get you points as an attacking player. And I just feel Burnley, Brighton with eyes elsewhere, you may at least get a clean sheet from Tariq Lamptey. In best case scenario, you get a clean sheet and an assist. And if you don't want to go for him, another right back, Reece James at Chelsea. Chelsea, despite so calamitous away from home, they've actually had two clean sheets from three at Stamford Bridge, just the one goal conceded against Manchester City prior to that. And if they do play the back three, he'll be playing as a wing back, putting in those wonderful deliveries for Olivier Giroud and the like. So I think he's another one that you could possibly contemplate as a one-off, considering we are in the home straight.
No, I'm not going to agree with that one. I think that Raul Jimenez, we talked about babies earlier. He had a little girl earlier this week. I reckon we are going to see the baby celebration come out at Stamford Bridge on Sunday. Now, another attractive fixture is over at Selhurst Park, and not just for Harry Kane, Jules.
Yeah, I think Lucas Moura, who had a really good game against Leicester, again in that very pragmatic approach from Mourinho and the counter-attacking football, which they could use exactly the same against Palace, and with the two assists he gave to Kane, I think he got 10 points. Lucas is a really interesting player, really good guy as well, and I think his partnership with Kane could be interesting. So if you go for Kane, like we've advocated a lot on the show, then maybe Lucas, who's only owned by 4% of managers, only costs 7 million, I think it could be a great move.
Yeah, Palace do seem to be in free fall at the moment. Well, they are our differential selections this week. Now we're going to find out just what our panel are doing with their own teams. So this is where we discuss transfers and captains. We know that both Jules and Neil and myself have our free hits active. Sam, without your free hit, are you tinkering much with your team?
Yeah, going to go out with a bang. My usual two subs. I think going to try and get another Manchester City player into the fold. I've got Foden and De Bruyne currently. So I'm looking at Edison because I think he'll be very motivated to get the old golden glove. Or Jesus, who I had in a few weeks ago and he got me 16 points as captain. So those are the two I'd be tempted with just to bolster the Manchester City ranks.
Who's making way in their place?
Making way, Rashford. And I had Ben Foster last week, who got nine points.
Yes.
Despite being thumped, but 4-0 because of his penalty save. But I believe
that was the one small victory I took from that game.
Lightning doesn't strike twice. So I think Ben may find himself out of my side this week.
I don't blame you at all, Sam. Jules, captaincy-wise, who are you going to give your armband to? And with a free hit, I always find it so much trickier.
Yeah, you're right. It would be tricky. I think if I bring Kane in, Kane might be the man. I'm thinking, as we've said, David Silva maybe. Kevin De Bruyne could be a good option as well. I fancy Anthony Martial to score, and I think he's been so good since the restart. So, again, going down the French promotion way, Martial could be my pick, just because I'm completely biased.
Could. I'm not convinced you're totally sold on that one yet.
No, but I think there's still a lot of time, and we will all change our mind a million times between now and Sunday, when you can, you know, make your last changes if you want. So I'd be thinking about it far too much between now and then, and yeah, I'm still a bit in between on a few players.
Neil, you've made one definite transfer so far this week in your free hit team, Brandon Williams. You've told us he's going to be a bench warmer, so he can't be your captain. So who are you going to captain?
Yeah, it won't be Mark Noble either, I can tell you that now. At the moment, it's on Sterling, which is pretty unsurprising. I think he's the pick of the City bunch. But given where I am in the world, and if I want one last crack at the top 10k, then it has to be a differential, really. So I think I'm a 30 points adrift of the top 10,000, which is pretty insurmountable. But if I nail the differential captain this week, then it could come off. So perhaps elsewhere in the City team, maybe David Silva, maybe Jesus, maybe Mahrez. He's not really getting much of a mention, but he got rested in the last game. So just depends which three City players I pick, and then it'll be someone from that game, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Sterling as well, despite his holiday antics that Jules keeps telling us about. I also want to provide a few stats to make people feel a little bit better about Sterling, because I feel like we've done him over a little bit. He's had 8 appearances since the restart, 2 from the bench, 5 double-digit hauls, and it's clear he wants to get even more goals. We saw that after the game against Watford with his comments. He wanted that hat-trick, and he is still in that golden boot race just about. So I don't think we should completely take what Jules is saying about his holiday putting him off, maybe. Sam, you know your transfers. What about your captain?
Well, I want to go for someone who's jostling for one of these accolades. So therefore, it's either going to be De Bruyne for his assist record, or I like Danny Ings in a bit of a nothing game. I know Chris Wilder, Sheffield United, would be motivated, but Ings on 21 goals, 2 behind Vardy. So it's going to be a toss of a coin between Danny Ings or Kevin De Bruyne on Saturday night.
Danny Ings, that is a rogue one. I'm still deciding whether he's going to make my free hit team. Well, guys, that's all we have time for on this week's podcast. And I'm feeling quite emotional because those are the last hints and tips we're going to be giving you before the final game week of 2019-20. But as always, there is plenty more FPL content over on PremierLeague.com. So like a proud parent waving you off to big school, good luck. And if you can, enjoy it. Remember, your final deadline is 3 p.m. UK time on Sunday. Be lucky, and we'll be back next week for one final FPL pod of what's been another cracking season. We'll see you then.